Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
At the age of 22, I went on vacation to Australia and New Zealand. I traveled with a friend, and while on the South Island of New Zealand, in a region known as the Southern Alps, we decided to go for a hike up one of the mountains there. And at some point along the way, my friend realized he wasn't able to go any further, so he stopped and I continued on alone. When I got to the top of that mountain, there was nobody else there. I stood there all alone and looked around. I could not believe how beautiful it was. As far as I could see, in every direction, there's nothing but mountaintops. I'd never seen anything like that. It was my first experience at the top of a mountain. I'd seen photos, but it didn't come close to actually being in that experience. And I just stood there looking and looking and saying to myself, oh my God, it's so beautiful. I'm on top of the world. There I was all by myself. I am on top of the world. It was like I felt this euphoria. It was this euphoric state. I was in complete awe at how gorgeous this world is. And after standing there for some time in that state, I had an experience. In front of me, just in the air itself, there was a disturbance. The air started to move. It was like, it looked like fabric, like lace or gauze. And it had an energy about it, a movement. And I looked at that and thought, what the heck is that? And I was totally transfixed by it. I couldn't take my eyes off of that. Forget the mountains. I was totally focused on that. And it wasn't like you might see a piece of fabric waving in the breeze. It was like the air itself was a fabric. I didn't have the words for it. I had no idea what it was. But I was drawn to it. I wanted to move into it. But I was standing on the edge of this mountaintop. It was a really small mountaintop. And I felt like if I move to it, I'm going to fall off the side of this mountain. So I was a little afraid. And then eventually, I said, well, maybe I'll just touch it. So I started to reach out to it, and I pulled my hand back. I don't know what that is. So eventually I couldn't see it anymore. I walked down the mountain, I'm thinking, man, that was some strange stuff. I have no idea what that was. I rejoined my friend. I didn't say a word to him. In fact, I didn't talk about this experience with anybody for many years. But years later, when I looked back at that experience, I could see it for what it really was. It was the first crack in my scientific atheist armor. Over the coming years, there would be so many cracks in that armor that it completely dissolved, such that I can stand before you today as a person of faith, as a person who knows what is really real. But I didn't know that then. I didn't know what it was. And that is the transformative power of awe. It connects us with something bigger than ourselves. It opens us up to new insights, and it returns us to our wholeness. When I stood on that mountaintop, I felt really small. And the world felt really big. That's one of the common features of awe throughout all cultures and around the world. The simultaneously feeling both very small and a part of something very big. When you talk to people about awe experiences, they'll say stuff like, I was really small, but I knew there is something bigger that sees me, that knows I exist, that knows I matter. I knew I was loved. Dr. Eben Alexander, he's a neurosurgeon, and in 2008, he had a most incredible near-death experience. He was in coma for 7 days, and he traveled to and experienced what later he would call the realm of God. Now, when he tells the story of his near-death experience, it sounds like a very long experience. It goes on and on and on. But really, he has no idea how long he was there, because he was in a coma. He had lost his sense of time. But the story was immense. The experience was immense. And he came back from that. He made a full recovery, went on to tell his story. And he says he learned many, many things while he was in that realm. Two of them I share with you today. First, indeed, we are connected to something bigger than ourselves. And Dr. Alexander put it this way. Each of us are intricately, irremovably connected to the larger universe. It is our true home, and thinking that this physical world is all that matters is like shutting oneself up in a small closet and imagining that there is nothing else out beyond it. We are connected to our home, the universe. The other thing he learned, and really is the overarching lesson of everything he learned in that experience, is that we are indeed loved always, no matter what. When asked to sum up his entire experience, he said, I would sum it up this way. You are loved and cherished. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. If I had to boil this entire message down to one sentence, it would run this way: you are loved. And if I had to boil down further to just one word, it would, of course, be simply love. All transforms us because it reminds us of our most fundamental truth and connection. Deeply, we are one in love. Secondly, all transforms us because it opens us up to great insights. People most often say when they've had an awe experience, much like I just did, I cannot describe what happened there. It is beyond words. It's impossible for me to tell you the whole experience that I had. This is another common aspect of awe throughout cultures and around the world. If you ask them about it afterwards, and I'm sure every person here has had an experience like this at least once, I hope many times in your life, where you say, "What the heck was that? Did you guys see that? How did they do that? Where did that come from? I can't explain it. There are no words. It's indescribable." Black Elk, when writing about one of his experiences, wrote, "As I lay there thinking of my vision, I could see it all again and feel the meaning with a part of me like a strange power glowing in my body. But when the part of me that talks would try to make words for the meaning, it would be like fog and get away from me." Awe is often incomprehensible. When I stood on that mountaintop, I didn't know what that was. I couldn't explain it. And I knew then, in that moment, that my scientific rational brain couldn't explain what I saw. I could not come up with the rational explanation. I could not explain it due to weather or birds or hallucinogenic substances or illness or visionary problems or sonic disturbances. None of those explained it. I had to admit that I was standing in the mystery. And face to face with the mysterious, my rational brain had to step aside and let in what at the time for me was completely irrational explanation. Now, I mentioned that I didn't speak about this experience to anybody for many years, but I did that night write a letter to my mother. And I told her about it, and I ended the letter with, "Was that God?" Again, a completely irrational thing for this atheist to ask. I had to ask the question. Indeed, the first crack in my armor. These experiences of awe transport us to some place that doesn't make any sense. Like I said, it's like an out-of-body experience and an out-of-mind experience, right? We're like, the mind can't make sense of it, so we're forced to go somewhere else, to a place of higher knowing, where we receive intuitive knowledge, where deep truths come to us like some cosmic download. This is illustrated in a way in one of the Upanishads from the Hindu tradition. Talks about a young student named Garji. And Garji, he likes to ask lots of questions until one day his teacher says, "Garji, do not question so much, lest your head fall off." we can probe and probe and we can ask and ask and get more and more information, but eventually we reach the point where we're like, okay, information only gets me so far. I have to step aside and let a higher truth come in. We have to get in touch with our higher self, or what the Hindus would call the Atman, the true God self. That's what awe helps us do. And I think this is very powerfully illustrated, again from the Hindu tradition. The ancient Veda mystics developed a system thousands of years ago, the Kalpa system. Now, in the Kalpa system, it's a way of measuring time. One Kalpa equals one day in the life of Brahma, which means one day in which Brahman has been experiencing itself as creation, as the world. Now, this is further understood to be a way of measuring how old planet Earth is. In that tradition, one kalpa equals 4.32 billion years. Scientists tell us today the Earth is 4.5 billion years old. How did they know? That alone leaves me in awe. How did they know? They knew because awe transports us to a place of deep truths, of deep understanding. Lastly, awe transforms us because it returns us to wholeness. So we've been referencing the book Awe by Dr. Keltner. Well, Dr. Keltner and his colleagues have unveiled or discovered many, many benefits of awe experiences for our emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual health. Awe experiences quiet that part of the mind that's responsible for the very selfish part of the ego, the part that wants to protect us, the part that wants to get what is ours, the parts that's only worried about me, me, me. It also quiets the body in a way that reduces inflammation, and the list of benefits from this is long. We experience less worry, anxiety, depression, less physical pain. We heal from loss and trauma. There's reduced risk of heart disease, respiratory disease, diabetes, autoimmune problems, reduced PTSD symptoms, lower blood pressure, less competition, more collaboration, less divisiveness, more kindness, sharing, and compassion. I think awe does that for us because it returns us to our wholeness. When you're in a state of awe, when you even just remember those awe states, you know, I am safe. I am well. I am loved. It's okay. I'm part of something. And when we remember that wholeness, we can stop worrying and start loving. Again, from Dr. Alexander, he says, the false suspicion that we can somehow be separated from God is the root of every form of anxiety in the universe. And the cure for it is the knowledge that nothing can tear us from God, ever. My soul had an experience on that mountaintop. I felt more calm and more peace than I ever had. And years later, many years later, when I consciously was choosing to walk a spiritual path, which includes forgiveness and healing from childhood trauma, I re-engaged with that mountaintop experience. I could look back at it and go, oh, that's where it all started. That was real. And I'm okay. I'm okay. I can do this. I can walk the spiritual path. And since then, I've been engaged with more of what Dr. Keltner and his colleagues call saintly tendencies. Not a saint, but more in touch with my higher self, more than I ever was before that. And that experience, that mountaintop experience, still buoys me. It lifts me up when my faith takes a hit. It lifts me up when I worry about the divisiveness in our country. And it lifts me up when I get more into my to-do list and forget that it's about being. That experience buoys me because it reminds me of a fundamental truth, something that I experienced then, but only came to understand many years later. The veil is real, and it is thin. That is the transformative power of all. It reminds us of what is really real. Thank you. Now we get to pray together. And in the spirit of coming together and remembering our connection with everything and everyone, today I want to do a special prayer this 2 days before our election. And today I invite anyone who would like to stand in prayer with me as I recite my prayer for my country, written by our founder, Ernest Holmes. He wrote this many, many years ago during the Korean War, and I've looked at a lot of other prayers, and I believe nothing captures it as well as this. So if you would like, please stand with me as we pray together for our country. Believing in the divine destiny of the United States of America and in the preservation of liberty, security, and self-expression, I offer this, my prayer for my country. I know that divine intelligence governs the destiny of the United States of America, directing the thought and the activity of all who guide its affairs. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are the gifts of freedom and are the divine heritage of everyone in this country. I know that success, prosperity, and happiness are now operating in the affairs of every individual in this country. I know that divine guidance enlightens the collective mind of the people of this country, causing it to know that economic security may come to all without the loss of either personal freedom or individual self-expression. I know that no one can believe or be led to believe that freedom must be surrendered in order to ensure economic security for all. The all-knowing mind of God contains the answer to every problem which confronts this country. I know that every leader in this country is now directed to this all-knowing mind and has the knowledge of a complete solution to every problem. And each is compelled to act upon this knowledge to the end that abundance, security, and peace shall come to all. And I know that this spiritual democracy shall endure, guaranteeing to everyone in this country personal liberty, happiness, and self-expression. And so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.